shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We do have, in our news and information hour, we'll be coming on with some comments about a story today in the news concerning Marine snipers in, I think it was Afghanistan or Iraq, and I'm not sure when this took place. I think they're snipers. They were identified as such by somebody on TV. But in any event, we'll talk about the fact that they were photographed, or there was a video of them urinating on their these insurgents that they just shot, and the reaction of the military, reaction of the press, and so forth. 877-876-PHIL. Other big news from the city of Los Angeles we're going to talk about tonight with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we're going to be talking about a woman who is struck, and I mean this is a roundhouse right, struck by a Los Angeles County sheriff on a Metrorail train.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken,
Jay, you ready?
A duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the Rangers,
or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Jay Sanderson, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, with us.
Thank you, Phil. And I want to very quickly, Phil. I'm not a member of the military. I'm not a member of the military. I've not been in the military, but I think what we do for the Citizens Auxiliary Police is similar to what our military does, and that is we are out here trying to protect and to help, you know, people be defended. And it can get, you know, I'll say it right now, it's going to get kind of hairy. And sometimes you get tense, and sometimes you know, do things.
Yep. Well, what you're a volunteer police agency. I mean, you're not really the police. You're not, you know, the police police. What situations?
Well, that doesn't mean, Phil, we don't get into some hairy situations. And what do I mean by that? I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't get into situations where there's going to be, you know, some confrontational possibility. And I'm not really sure what you're referring to.
Well, what situation would you get into where these Marines were, you know, were photographed urinating on these bodies?
Well, I can tell you that I will say that we disciplined one of our subcommanders. We had been in front of someone's residence, and they had given us a hard time. It had to do with some videotapes that needed to be reported. Yeah, some videotapes that needed to be rewound and taken back to a video store. And one of the subcommanders and the individual in the house, you know, thought they were going to give us a hard time, you know, mouth back and smarted off and smarted back and all this. And one of our subcommanders performed illicitly an act. You know, he relieved himself on the front lawn. And so we do.
Well, I mean, here you have the Marines and dead insurgents that were shooting at them. And in your case, this was someone who had not rewound, you know, a videotape.
Well, we're not in the business, Phil, of judging and... Hold on a minute. What's that? We're not in the business, Phil, of judging, you know, what is a tense situation. As a civilian, as a member of a civilian, you know, of the civilian people that you are, you don't know, and I don't know what those Marines are up against. I can just tell you that one of our subcommanders, after a very tense... you know, confrontation with a homeowner who had not rewound these videotapes, was, you know, disciplined by us after he relieved himself on a lawn.
All right. Let's talk, Jay, about this situation in Southern California. Now, this was a woman hit, and I'll read the story. A Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is investigating one of its own after a deputy was caught on video striking a woman on a bus in Bellflower. A passenger shot cell phone video showing the deputy allowing the woman elbowing the woman on Monday night. This is him elbowing her. I saw the videotape, and this was a roundhouse right. You know,
I've not seen it. I'm not really sure.
Well, we can show it for those who are watching Phil TV in HD right now. We'll show the video, and it's very, very clear to me, at least, what's happening. Let me get it over here to our. And Jay, are you watching?
I've got it right now. Yeah. Hold on for a sec. 15.
This is from their newscast, and it will show in a moment here this confrontation with the Los Angeles County Sheriff. and this lady. If you can see that, you'll see that they were on this train, and at some point she tries to walk past this officer, and you'll see what happens. To me, it looks like she, here she is.
I'm watching right now. She looks like she's talking to one officer, and she's going to try to go past this other officer. He's grabbing her by both arms. She's talking, bang. Yeah, he did hit her with a hand.
Yeah, he hit her with a right hand. It's the news says elbow.
Now, that was a definite shot, and I can only imagine what that woman said to the officer. Because, again, you have to understand something, Phil. People in a lot of ways are going to say things that the average civilian don't know, and they don't know about, you know.
Well, what do you mean, say things? I mean, the woman... Here it is. We're right here waiting for a bus, and she's trying to pick a fight. It says that she was trying to pick a fight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, the police officer probably hit her not because she had overtly said anything like, you know, F you or some kind of a deal like this. But one of the things that we encounter, Phil, citizens auxiliary police or police officers that are in the field, is there is a high level of disrespect for peace officers, law enforcement officers. We're out there trying to control and, you know, regulate all of the things that are going on. And when people are disrespectful, and we're not talking about...
Well, what do you mean disrespectful? I mean, look, you guys are not the principal. You're not the teacher.
No, that's absolutely right. Absolutely right. But you are required to give us a level of respect given the uniform that we wear. And by that, it's simply something as, you know, calling us sir as opposed to hey you or mister. You don't talk with disrespect to a police officer when he's asking you questions. You answer crisply and quickly. You make sure that when you are talking to a police officer that you're looking him in the eye. You're not averting his face. You try not to just little things, Phil. They don't seem big, but you know, chewing gum. These kinds of, if you're chewing gum when you're talking to a police officer, it's going to potentially be seen as a situation. The other thing is...
Well, but are you saying that those are laws?
What those are indicators. If I'm talking to an individual and she's chewing gum, like we had a kid here last week, she's chewing gum and not meeting my gaze, that right away I said, okay, you know, all bets are off. I folded up my citation book and we went ahead and called her parents and told her in parents that, you know, she was walking around and everything. And so...
What was she doing?
She was walking by herself in the mall.
And what was it, after curfew?
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. I mean, she's a kid walking around. We didn't know if she was soliciting or what. So...
She's a kid that... Okay. All right. So we see this lady on the train, and she gets slugged by the officer.
That's right.
And so she must have said something overt?
Well, it can be overt. It can be something as simple, like I said, as simple as the officer was walking by and she said, listen, I'm trying to get your name and you're chewing gum and you're not, you know, you didn't call me ma'am. Would you stop and shut up and give me your name? Or if there are these threats. Now, a lot of people don't say pig anymore. Pig is, you're inviting, if you call a police officer a pig, It's pretty legal, or close to legal, for that police officer to, you know, make a statement. And
what do you mean by statement? And I'm sorry for all these questions.
Well, you know, I think you understand what I mean by statement.
No, you're telling me it's pretty legal for him to make a statement.
That is correct.
What does that mean?
Well, if you're a policeman and someone called you a pig, what would you do?
No, it's not what I would do. I want to know what you're calling legal.
If that lady called that police officer a pig or did something that more and more people are doing now, which is making these veiled references, a lot of people now are saying things like, oh, I smell bacon, or I'm going to the store to buy bacon. That right way. That, you know, that right way is a red flag.
And so if someone says, I'm going to the store to buy bacon, the cop can slug you.
I'm saying that it's probably, yeah, probably legal. Because calling a police officer a pig is like saying, you know, the N-word to a black person. And I didn't want to say it, but...
Well, I can't really buy that. And I'll tell you why. Because the N-word is racial, P is an occupation. The police officers, while I don't like hearing our police officers called that word, it pisses me off when I hear it. It is a reference to an occupation, not a race.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. All I'm saying is, Phil, it's insightful to a police officer to be called, you know, to have anybody sniff the air, say there's bacon or whatever. That's like a being called a pig, or a being called the N.
All right, we're talking here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What could that woman have said to that L.A. sheriff? He hit her with a right hand right across the chops. I mean, and with all due respect to the lady and the situation, and just talking like, you know, a stupid talk show host, that cop hit her with a right hand, and I mean a right cross, and she didn't go down necessarily. She was pulled down.
Yeah, I noticed that too, Phil. She took that shot pretty good. And that tells me she's probably taken a few shots to the face. And again, if you saw her face and they did have the face there, you know, that's the face of a woman that's taken a few, you know, she's taken a few shots in her day off her face. And I had said that to one of the sub-commanders, and they all laughed. And I said, no, it's not what you're thinking. I said, I'm talking about this. And
all right, we're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And Jay says that if you call a cop a pig, or if you even make a veiled reference like there's bacon cooking or I got to go get bacon, any of these things that could be considered insightful, then, quote, unquote, quote, it's probably legal for them to cold cock you like that. This lady on the train in Los Angeles, I have no idea what precipitated that. We'll get back to talking more about it. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Where are you right now, Jay?
We're in a substation that we set up the. Generally, some mobile substations, generally at a residence, one of our residences.
Now, if you look at the homepage here, folks, so those of you who are on Phil TV and HD, you see the Channel 5, this is the homepage of Channel 5, and this is the video story that I was mentioning. Video captures deputy striking woman on bus. Now, you're saying that this lady most likely said something to the officer?
I don't think there's any doubt. She probably said something like, you know, she might have just said something, you know, like, hey, you. And when you're talking to an officer, you want to say more respect, you know, say, officer, could I say something? Nothing will get me. I'm just speaking me personal now as a Citizens Auxiliary Police Officer. If someone's to say to me, hey, you, or, you know, what do you want? You know, that gets me. I start to sweat. You generally know I start to perspire. I feel I begin to size the person up. I, you know, some of my younger officers might even think about things that I've told them they can't do. You know, is there an alley or is there a secluded place where I can take this person, and is there a word against mine?
Well, now, wait a second. You just told me it's probably legal.
No, I can't make that statement. I'm telling you what is going to make an officer angry. Yeah, if you call him a pig and then he goes ahead and performs, in self-defense... And
it's self-defense if he belts somebody after they call him pig.
Yes, sir, or any of these veiled threats like, I'd like you to give me your driver's license. I have to go to the store today and pick up bacon. That is one of the oldest in the book. And right away, you would be in your rights, too.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And let me get Al on the phone. Al?
Yay!
Go ahead, sir, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, I just wanted to let you, I just wanted to bring something up. I'm right here in Los Angeles, and it's a bad thing that actually what happened after the lady got the devil knocked out of her, then what happened, she was placed on a 72-hour psychiatric hold. They can do that legally, but what that does, that stops a personal injury attorney from swooping her up. They're like vultures in Los Angeles. And then, if she's got any noticeable bruises and all of that, it's 72 hours for all that to clear up. And they did interview her when she got out of the psychiatric hole. It was a few news outlets to do that. So I just thought I'd...
Well, you have to put her on a 72-hour because you don't know if she's a danger to you or me or herself. And, you know, if she's calling people, you know, Porker, I don't know if she called a guy Porker, but she's running around there calling people names. You know, I mean, you may think it's funny, but...
One thing about it, listen at me, Phil. It's so many L.A.
He's responding to a 911 call about a woman who had almost attacked she almost attacked an elderly person right
That's
there.
Correct.
Okay. So now you're going to have to get that 72-hour to keep an eye on her, make sure she's not running around trying to...
Well, I mean, what the man's saying, and Al, I understand what you're saying. Basically, she's taken into custody the 72 hours. So other things that she might be able to, for instance, the physical bruising that she might be able to show a judge was the result of this attack, this altercation with the police, or any other things that might be of value, she can't say to an attorney for 72 hours. And
That's
I suppose
correct.
What you're saying, yeah, and the, you know.
Well, what are you supposed to do? You know, I tell you what I'll do is I'll let you out so you can talk to a lawyer and, oh, yeah, rape a cat. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
What
well,
do you mean, rape
that,
a cat?
Well, you don't know what she's going to do.
Well, then,
all right.
Well, then too, all over Los Angeles, there is a multitude of psychiatric homeless people.
That's right.
All
yeah.
over the place, and they
yeah.
know who this lady is. And it's just maybe they just got tired of it and just knocked the devil out of her. But
could
that
be.
Was the protocol to lock her up for 72 hours. And a personal injury attorney can't swoop her up off the street and then. Eventually a lawyer will get a hold of her.
The other thing too is these. I don't know if you ever seen this thing, the Faces of Meth. If she had one of the faces of meth, because what they do is they see that meth face, and police officers can go, I'm going to have to. I look at a face like that. If I see a meth face, I think I want to knock that, whatever wrong with that guy's face, I want to knock it off of his face. It's an automatic thing.
Well, I saw this woman. She didn't have a. If she's a psychiatric patient, she's a psychiatric patient. I understand that. Here is Ron on the Phil Hendry Show. Ron, go ahead.
I don't have any idea about the laws in California, but I was a police officer in Texas for 5 years, and here in Texas, you have to have reasonable restraint. And a police officer that is trained in his job and what have you is trained to take any kind of physical abuse and throw somebody to the ground if they have to and cuff them. There is no reason for a police officer to ever strike a person because they call you a name.
Well, let me ask you a question, sir. This is Jay Sanis. You say you're a police officer for 5 years, sir?
I was, yes, sir.
All right. If you have a person that you detain and that person starts waving the air, going, "Man, I'm smelling pork." I mean, you want to just go ahead and do it.
Well, the hair on the back of your neck does bristle up, and that puts you on the
offense. That's right.
But it still gives you no reason to strike someone unless they physically try to strike you.
Well, see, I consider that to be a threat, Phil.
And why do you consider that a threat?
If someone says there's pork cooking, are you kidding? It's only a small step between...
It doesn't matter.
Huh?
If that person, even if it was a grown man linebacker size, says, "I'm going to knock your head off," you still can't hit him first.
Now, what would you do, sir, if, for instance, someone's rude? Don't you demand that they call you sir? I do. I want them to call me at least sir or something.
Well,
and stand,
that's
stand up straight.
It hardly ever happens to a police officer, and you know
No, I mean... Demand that they call you, sir.
Demand that they call you, sir, or you strike them.
It's considered to be a
demand. You cannot demand anybody to say anything.
You can demand that they treat you with respect, that they stand up straight and treat you with respect.
You can ask them to do so, and you know as well as I do how many people you arrested.
How many people? I've detained young people, and elderly, and I said, "Stand up straight." It's easier to push them around if they're older. I understand that.
But all right, look, I got to take a break. Thank you very, very much, Ron, for your expertise in that area. Jay, thank you. Hold on, 877-876. Phil, when is it all right for an officer to strike somebody? When they call you pig, when they're not respectful, when they're not standing up straight? Jay Santos seems to think so. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Stand up straight. But
Phil Hendry.
Guy waves the air and spell pork.
We're going to commercial.
Oh.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization springs into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the citizens' auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Jay Santos joining us from the citizens' auxiliary police this evening. And we are...
Hold on. Here he is.
We're talking about the Los Angeles County Sheriff that smacked this lady. And you correctly, I think, identified it, Jay. It wasn't an elbow. He gave her a right hand. I don't know what she was saying, but you have indicated that this woman was most likely saying something offensive.
That is correct, yes. And I understand what the last gentleman said, who is a Texas law enforcement officer for some 5 years, I believe he said. And I do appreciate his expertise as well, Phil. I believe that when an individual, civilian, and I am a citizen's auxiliary police, I'm not a part of the uniform state police or local municipality, we are an auxiliary unit that we have independently set up by way of how we want to do it, and I understand all that, but if someone is standing in front of me and fanning the air in front of them saying, you know, it's a good day for pork or something like that. That right away is a threat, especially if it's someone who has one of faces of meth.
And you keep talking about the faces of meth. What?
Well, if you see someone with the faces of meth and they're waving their hand, talking about it being a good day for a pork, you know, good day for a pork sandwich or however they say it, then I think you're duty bound to just go ahead and start beating on them. I mean, that's my feeling. And
what? Yeah, but what is the thing with the faces of meth? You think that those people are dangerous?
I absolutely think they're dangerous. You look. Have you ever seen the face of someone who is on the meth? You know, is on the meth. They got faces that are the faces have all kinds of sores. They look like there's a devil. They've been possessed by a demon of some kind. I'd just as soon beat their face in.
See, that to me doesn't sound professional.
No, it's very professional.
No, that to me sounds like a guy whose emotions are really getting away from him. Let's take a phone call here. We have Mike on the line. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Phil. You know, Jay, sure. I was a military policeman for 6 years, and
yes,
I'm not sure what type of training that this auxiliary force that you're some sort of commander of has.
Well, I mean, we're a citizens group, and to be honest with you, you know, civilian police sometimes fail at their job. We have to come in, you know, sweep in, and we got to sweep in behind them.
Okay. Well, my thought is that there's a, you know, military police officers, civilian police officers, they're both trained the same. I mean, number one, you're going to have thick skin to be in that type of job, and number two, you know, there's certain levels of force that you're allowed for the threat level that you've encountered. And to handle a situation, you know, that nobody deserves respect. I mean, the officer commands respect of his handling of the situation, his or her handling of the situation.
I think when you show the uniform of the police officer, right there, people should say, yes, sir. Stand up straight. You know, I don't want to sound like you're in school, but, I mean, standing there chewing gum with a slouch, you know.
Sure.
Well, that does sound like you're in school.
Every police officer would like to have courtesy given to him or her.
Right, exactly.
This is America. This is America, and that doesn't happen. And if you're in the job of or in the role of some sort of authority figure in America, you know, and you don't get respect at the time that you're encountering a suspect or a person of interest or anything, you know, at that point, you know, you've got to command the situation, but you're not going to be able to have a sir or madam, you know, being addressed to you at all times.
I just want to say this one thing.
Force.
Yes, sir. I just want to say one thing. I hear what you're saying, but when I stand there and I say, hey, you know, you're talking to, chief, you know, citizens or police, the least you can do is stop chewing your gum and standing there like you have curvature of the spine or whatever, and they laugh at me. Now, some of these people, and I want to just tell you this, Mike, because I meant to say this, some of them had the faces of meth that I was just talking to Mr. Henry about. If you see that face, that right away for me is a threat, because if I see the faces of meth, I don't know if that person's going to go ape, if they're going to turn into an ape and try to climb me. I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, if you see that, Mike, and you were a military police officer, right?
I was. So, you know, meth.
Well, how many times are you going to see the faces of meth out and being a military cop? I don't know. Maybe you do.
Well, see, that's just it. I don't think you ever saw that.
No.
And you see faces of meth, you want to kick that face in.
You know,
you want to kick it in.
Well, I don't think you want to kick it in. I do. You want to ascertain the situation and deal with it accordingly. I don't think that. I think if a person raises a threat level on you, then you're authorized for hand to hand situation all the way to level 7 and you know bearing of a deadly weapon. But
I want to ask you as a military police officer, did you ever encounter a face of the meth? Did you ever see that?
That's a good question.
No,
did you ever see army guys? No? Okay.
I've never seen a...
Yeah.
All right. See, that's just it. If you see that out in civilian life, you don't know the faces of meth. And
what is this faces of meth? Are you talking about a guy or a girl or some individual that has obvious scarring from the use of methamphetamine?
Well, yes, but it's the face... You ever seen the faces of meth?
What are you talking... What is it, a movie?
I'm talking about the pictures they have.
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
Well, Mike doesn't want to do it, but I tell you right now, I feel the threat level is I don't know what you call it, elevated. I'd beat that face in until it was a face of something good.
All right, Mike, thanks very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry. Should you hear that guy laughing?
Well, he can laugh all he wants. You know, I question if that gentleman was laughing at me, a law enforcement officer. I wasn't a military police, but I was a fellow law enforcement officer. And for him to laugh like that, I think shows he has a level of disrespect that I think is wrong. Now, when I talk about the face of meth, I'm talking about someone who could be a threat or maybe or could be, and the instinct is to beat the face of meth in until it's the face of purity.
You know something? You don't even sound like a cop the way you talk.
What's that supposed to mean?
I want to beat in the face of meth until it's the face of purity. That sounds...
Mr. Henry, every police officer...
Hey, sir, that's just Kenny Cammy in the corner.
What do you got?
Hey,
10-4 to 16, front screen.
Right.
We have a situation out here right now, Phil. If you want, we can do a ride-along. And
what do you...
We have a situation where we have someone who has lipped off to a subcontractor. Where is it?
Pardon me.
All right. We have a situation right now, Phil. I think it might be interesting for you to be a part of it, where someone has lipped off to a subcommander, and we're going to get into one of our... We'll get into a vehicle now and head over to that area. And you never really know, Phil, and you can hear the sound of typewriters in the background, even though we're in a car. That's troubling.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try and figure that out. But I do have a couple of things I want to say. One, if you encounter anyone what has a face of meth, it's not anything that you want to deal with one-on-one, because the instinct is to beat it in. And we're heading over right now. Where'd they say to...
Where are you going?
We're on our way over to this Hawthorne and Toluca. Hold on. Pull up right here. Pull up right here. How are you doing this evening?
Uh-oh.
What's your problem?
I just walked down the street.
But you're walking down the street, but this officer wanted to know what you're doing, and you were being disrespectful. Did you, what'd you say about pork?
I was going to get a shredded pork sandwich.
You ain't pound pork?
Huh?
All right, okay, so you said piled pork.
Yeah.
Hold him up, hold him up. I didn't hit you. I didn't hit you, but I could.
What'd you do that for?
You say piled pork in front of me? Phil is the gentleman who said something about a piled pork sandwich. I didn't hit him, but I swung at him, and you should have seen him go down, too. What were you scared of? I didn't hit you. You do meth?
What?
Do you do meth? You don't know? You don't know whether you do meth or not?
What do you mean? What are you guys, anyway?
Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm Jay Santos.
Jay?
Yeah, Phil.
Did you say that that kid said something about pork?
Yeah, he said he's going down here to Costco. He wanted to get a pile of pork sandwich. Well, and so I feinted a right hand like I was going to hit him, and he immediately went down, and Subcommander Police in here had to pick him up. I didn't hit him.
So you're, what is that, police torture or something?
What do you mean police torture? I just, hey, hold on for a minute, Phil. What do you want? What do you think I'm doing?
I don't know. What do you guys want? What are those hats?
You got a problem with my hat? You got a problem with the hat I'm wearing? Yeah?
Yes. What is it?
It's a level 6, Phil. What we do is we pretend like we're going to hit him. We don't.
You know, that to me is some level of kind of police coercion that I don't like, and I think you should stop. And I think that the man's given you the answer. Is he not being respectful?
No, he's not being respectful. Which respect are you, Gleason?
I didn't think he was respectful to me, but I asked him to be.
What's that?
I didn't think he was.
Gleason said he didn't think he was being respectful. What are you doing?
Well, this guy, I can't even understand what he's saying.
What?
I can't understand what he's saying. He's got something wrong with his lip.
All right, look, you're making fun of his lip, but you look like the underside of a cat that's been dragged for a mile. What are you telling me you don't smoke meth?
A little bit.
Yeah, there you lie.
All right, we got to take a break, Jay.
Huh?
We got to take a break.
Just getting good.
Hang on for a minute. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who has, along with another subcommander, they've pulled over a man and are questioning him. He has not shown respect. He said something about a piled pork sandwich. And it sounds to me like they're engaging in some kind of a police coercive behavior. I don't like it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're back. Are you still there?
It's Jay Santos. Waiting on Phil Hendry.
I'm right here, Jay.
Yeah, Phil.
All right, we're back on the air.
All right. We've let this young man go, and we are... Basically, we're just filling out a report. He looked at me like he was... I don't know what his problem was, but when Subcommander Gleason pulled him over... he was walking, and he did not give Subcommander Gleason no respect, was standing, shifting his weight, looking around, had his hands in his pocket, chewing gum, and just looked like a real slob. At that time, Subcommander Gleason says to the guy, you know, what's your problem or whatever, and this guy started giving some lip. So...
Well, I don't know that any of that, as many other officers have said, have called the show, former or not.
Well, let's keep something clear, Phil. The people that I've talked to tonight on your show are all former law enforcement officers. All former law enforcement officers. That means
that as former law enforcement officers, they probably don't know a lot of what it is that they're talking about now because laws have changed.
Yeah, all right. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here. I got Brian. Brian, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Do they get paid for what they're doing?
Is gentleman asking?
Yeah. Do you get paid?
We are Citizens Auxiliary Police. We are community oriented. Do we get paid? We get paid. In terms of what? In what sense do you mean?
Wages.
I earn a wage at my security job, but not as a citizen's officer, police officer, because this is not really about money. It's about saving lives, as far as we're concerned. It's all about saving lives.
It seems to me you're using abuse of power. First of all, it's guys like you that are giving us in the security field bad names.
I don't understand. How am I giving you a bad name if I'm stopping some meth base?
Because what you're doing is an abuse of authority.
In what sense, sir? Here's a guy that was walking down the street giving me lip. No.
And that gave you the right to swing on him?
But I did not hit him.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You're putting fear, you're putting fear in these people. Why?
The man was stopped because he looked like he might have a problem. He had a face on him that looked like he does meth. And so anyway, we stopped him and asked him some questions. He was smart mouth about it, telling everybody we look like a bunch of fairies. If you want me to say it, I'll use the language.
What did he say to you?
He goes, "Where'd you guys look like a bunch of fairies?" And that's when we stood him up and pretended like I was going to hit him.
So you got angry at the guy for calling you names?
He was not showing respect. And that's why I'll say this gentleman here, Brian, got to have him show respect to you. Otherwise, you look like a turd.
The way I see it, you think that uniform brings you respect, but that uniform don't bring you any respect. It's the person in the uniform that gets the respect. And you're certainly not going to get it trying to beat it out of them.
I didn't beat on him, sir. I...
Well, you pretended to. It was like almost like torture.
Are you kidding me? Torture? Oh, my God. So you think, what do I do, like waterboard him or something?
No, you didn't waterboard the guy, but when you swing on a guy and he thinks he's going to get hit, it puts fear into him.
Well, what respect do I get? What respect do I get when the guy goes, I'm going to get a pile of pork sandwich? Forget
you
it.
You said you're a security officer? You should have been trained that we're supposed to have thick skins. I'm a security officer, too.
So you want a guy to say to you, "Hey, how's the piled pork sandwich in this neck of the woods?" You know what that means.
I've been saying that on a daily basis. I've worked in a...
You've heard... Yes, sir?
This gentleman is saying that there's a lot worse that you're going to deal with, and...
Mr. Henry, you're not a cop. I don't even know. You're all... This gentleman's saying... You don't know anything about it.
Okay, but I'm the host of the show. Do you mind?
Let me ask this gentleman, have you seen the face of meth? And Mr. Henry doesn't like me using that term, but have you seen a meth? Seen a face of meth?
I've seen them all. If you're talking about high on methamphetamines, I've seen them high on Angel Dust.
What are they doing in a mall? Are they shopping for shoes? What is that?
Just that. They're in the mall.
They're in the mall, yeah. They're in the mall, high on Angel Dust.
I don't think
that
doesn't add up.
There's not many places for them to go here in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, you're in Richmond, Virginia. All right. I didn't know what part of the... Richmond, that's a very lovely area. That's Southern Virginia. I know there's a lot of lovely areas there. Yeah, I know.
Okay, that's fine, but it's Richmond, Virginia. There's a lot of... it's a tough urban environment in some areas. Listen, Brian, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Oh, shoot. I don't know who we have on the line here. Let me see. Who is the call? Oh, Danny. Hold the line here. Thanks very much. Let me go over to Danny. Hi, Danny. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
How you doing, Phil? I got, you know,
yes, sir.
I'm from the Massachusetts area, and the auxiliary police around here, they don't have that type of authority to stop. They're pretty much around here just handling traffic. He talks about meth people. We have meth people on meth around here. Police officers stop them, check them out. But they don't disrespect them. They don't throw punches. They don't slap people. You know, they try to, you know, assess the situation. This guy, I don't know. He thinks maybe that uniform gives him the right.
No, sir, I don't think. Danny, here's my thing. Here in California, we got a meth lab out here in the desert. You know, we got them all over the place. I got to go out there and shut down a meth lab. I got to slap a man around. I don't want to. I don't mean to. I didn't think I was going to.
All right, listen, Danny, I'm sorry we didn't have more time for your call. I appreciate it very much. And, Jay, thank you. And
was that it? Because, you know, I was going to show you. This is wrong, Phil. It's very wrong because you're giving people the impression that I'm a dumbass.
Well, you are a dumbass.
All right. I didn't even get to play my theme music.
We played it at the beginning.
No, I demand that you. My contract says at the end of the bit.
Oh, boy.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go through the looking glass every single night, Monday through Saturday, to go places other talk shows wish that they could, but they can't. And how do I know? Well, I was just at the NAB and they told me.
Really?
Not really, but... They had that look on their face. Anyway, nice to be with you guys, and don't forget that this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots, to Patriots, through Patriots. Anyway, you get the general idea. You can visit us online at philhenryshow.com. That's where our live streaming video of the show is airing right now. So you have a backstage pass. You can check that out, and that'll get you through the night. Coming up this evening, we're going to be talking with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. And we'll be discussing with him Dancing with the Stars on Monday. Chaz Bono, at one time a female, underwent gender reassignment surgery, is now Chaz Bono, a man, and dancing with the stars. And he will be on stage with a young lady. And Mr. Bozell is going to be talking about that and I guess, sort of the media repercussions of that.
Yeah, well, he's talking about what's the effect of that on regular men.
What's the effect of that on regular men?
Yeah.
All right, and then this hour we have Bob Green. There's a grocery strike that may happen in Southern California, and in California may happen nationally. There's also, and has been, a controversy surrounding coupons and how many coupons people use when they go to the store. It turns out now that people who run grocery stores think that too many coupons are being used by some people. It's locking some people out of the system. It's costing some of the grocers money. On the line with us from Buena Park is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. We're going to get to our affiliate spotlight in our next quarter hour, just mentioning a couple of the great stations that do carry the world-famous Phil Hendry show. Bob Green joining us, though, from Buena Park, California. He's the CEO and founder of Fraser Foods, now with some 50 stores in the Southwest and the Southeast. Bob, good evening to you. And it is it's a kind of a daunting landscape ahead here, the future for grocers, right?
Well, if you're referring to the possibility of a strike, it's something that we're monitoring it on a daily basis, and we're hopeful that it's going to get settled. We don't, at this particular point, see much that indicates that it will get settled, but it's a problem. There's no question about it.
And then we have this news article that I saw over this past week on coupons.
Well, that's been discussed for a long time, and I think it came to the public's attention with this show that they do. I think it's Extreme Shopper or something like that, where they
there's people that trim coupons.
Right, they go through coupon cutting, and they go into the stores, and they're getting they're trying to get the best deals possible, and that's understandable in this economy. I can't fault people that want to do that. What I can fault is when they're doing it in a manner that may be seen as malicious, Phil. And I know they don't mean to be malicious.
What do you mean by malicious?
Well, when they are bringing in so many coupons that it's very obvious at the end of their shopping spree, the store, whatever the store may be, is going to be hurt. That the store is going to get significantly hurt by them coming in with all of their coupons and getting their big discount. So, yeah, it's a very, as you mentioned, it's a very daunting landscape, and we're trying to take it one day at a time, but it affects how we deal with our customers. I come to work every day, and I want to have a good feeling about every customer that comes through our store, through our doors. It's very difficult, Phil, to have that when you know that there are some of them coming in with these coupons looking, to put it as succinctly as I can, looking to bleed you. And
so that's what you meant by malicious? You think people are coming in with coupons looking to bleed you? Why are they? Why can't you just think of them as people coming in looking to save money?
Well, I would believe that people are looking to save money if it was a trip to the store that saved them. The normal discount, I think, would be, I don't know, if you're saving 10%, but 20%, I don't know. But some of these people are coming in and they're paying for their entire grocery bill with coupons. In other words, they're not giving me any cash. I see these checkers checking people's groceries, and no money is exchanged. I see no money. And all day long today, Phil, I have been trying to control the checkout situation. You can hear I've almost lost my voice.
I can hear. It's a little rough.
Well, I've been yelling from one checker to the next. What's going on? How many coupons? And they're yelling back. We're getting a lot of people here that are paying for their entire grocery bill. And at one point, I remember yelling out, if you ever read anything about the Mutiny on the Bounty, Phil, believe it or not, there was a famous moment when Fletcher Christian yells out, "I'm in hell." And at one point today in the store, I remember going into my office and screaming that, "I'm in hell." And we have a series of recording and phone recording devices where we record a lot of our meetings, and I think somebody got that on tape.
You in your office, huh?
Yeah.
Screaming that I'm in hell. We're talking to Robert Green. That's an interesting story.
Well, I remember I've been reading about the Mutiny on the Bounty, and it just came to me that that's what Fletcher Christian had screamed. And as I walked into my office, it was the same thing.
Well, all right, so you are feeling very, very strongly about these coupon clippers and seem to be under an awful lot of stress. Is it really costing you that much money?
Well, it isn't just that. It's the possibility of a strike as well. And then what happens is you start to take it out on the customer, or you may take it out of the employees, and that becomes a problem.
In what way were you taking out on the customer?
We had a little boy today. It was either today or yesterday. I got to check with Judy, as my accountant. She was there. She saw it. A little boy came in and was wearing a wig. Now, it's no secret to my employees that I have a $15,000 hair system. It's not a toupee. It's not hair transplants. It's not a weave. It is a hair system that I've had for the last 10 years. And it's a outstanding hair system that was originally created by Bill Lindell and his partners. And then it was, duplicated in France. So it is a hair system. And
why do you... So you have a hair system. And
well, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because a lot of people like to say, well, you have a toupee. No, I don't. It's a hair system. It is my hair.
All right. I'm not quite clear.
What happened was this. I went to the Lindell labs, and they fitted me with a hair system. It's not a toupee. It's not implants. It's a hair system.
Is it your hair?
It is my hair now, yeah. And that's how I see it. When this little boy came in wearing a wig, I assumed that it was a joke that Michelle and some of the cashiers had played. I didn't think it was funny. I was under stress from the coupons. I was under stress from the possible strike. And I'd like you to know that, Phil, because of what transpired. Basically, what I did was I got very angry and I pulled the wig off of this little boy's head. And
all right, now, okay, because I think I had a conversation with Judy, who's your accountant.
Yeah.
She mentioned the little boy had cancer.
He was undergoing some kind of chemotherapy. They put a wig on his head. It was terrible looking, just terrible looking. And because when he came in with this crazy looking wig, I thought that they had put this child up to making fun of me. I admit that I was under a lot of stress. I admit that I let the stress get to me. I apologized to the child and the child's mother. I think what made the situation doubly difficult is that this woman proceeded to go into our store, and she purchased somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 worth of groceries, almost all of which was paid for by coupons. And in that instance, I had to just... I had to bite down on it, and I had to bite down on it, and I had to write it.
We're talking to Robert Green here from Fraser Foods. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And really what we're talking about is the strain and the stress of being in the grocery business, in the food business, is so difficult that you let it get to you.
And I fully admit that, Phil.
All right. But I
do want to say that when you're coming in with a child that has been going through chemo and the kid's got a wig on, that is... very, very badly purchased, I guess. It looked very bad. It's obvious. It was obvious to me. I thought someone was mocking me.
So you went up to this child and pulled the wig off. My question would be, why would you walk up to this little boy and pull the wig off of his head? Why not just get with your checkers?
And talk about it later on?
Yeah.
You know what? It occurred to me, and it was something that I probably should have done, but I was under... extreme stress from this coupon clipping, from the possibility of a strike. I would only ask your listeners to consider this. There's a possibility that we're going to have a strike. There's a possibility that we're going to, you know, have people out walking a picket line, that I'm going to lose business. Put that together with the fact that we've had people coming in over the last 6 months with these more and more coupons that have been more and more abusing... And I use that word quite literally, abusing me and my business with these coupons. It's put us all under a lot of strain.
All right, I understand that you're under a lot of strain, but a little child is a tough individual to take something like this out on.
I understand.
And the little boy had cancer, and...
I understand all of that, Phil, but I have been mocked by my employees because of the hair system that I've spent a good... piece of money on, and that...
Why do they mock it?
They mock it because they don't like the idea that I've got a great-looking and a great-fitting hair system, and it's not a wig, it's not a toupee.
And so you suspected that they had this child come in a wig to mock you?
It was my suspicion, yes it was.
All right, Robert Green is on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, and really what's happening... is the possibility of a grocery strike, of a worker strike in the grocery business here in California and elsewhere. There is, and that, of course, is always very, very difficult. Then there is the use of these coupons that has increased over a period of years that Mr. Green says his business is feeling the pinch now of these people that are abusively using coupons. Put it all together, you got a lot of pressure, and he let it loose today by... pulling the wig off of a little boy who has been undergoing chemotherapy. I don't know what to say about that other than the fact, is there ever any excuse, no matter what kind of business we're in, to react that way? We're going to talk more with Bob about it. We'll give our number out, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I can understand, you know, where business is getting really tough, and God, we're in the middle of a recession, but... how do you take out your angst over coupons and a grocery strike on a little boy with an ill-fitting wig because he has cancer? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots
by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green with me from Fraser Foods, a grocery chain longstanding here in Southern California throughout the Southwest and the Southeast, but it's happening all over the country, the price of food. But more to the point of what we're talking about here tonight, what is the pressure on grocers themselves, on the owners of these businesses, whether it's the big chains like Safeway, Bob, or Ralph's, or Kroger's, or the small chains like your store? You are feeling it, right?
We are, Phil, I don't know that anybody that has a business is feeling the pressure from the recession, but we have a double whammy. We have the threat of a strike, and we also have the... this coupon clipping situation, which we've always encouraged our customers to use the coupons that we put in the circulars, in the fold-ins on Sunday. We spend good money to promote our business, but when someone is using those coupons to the extent that some people do, and in some instances you have to sort of just take it, like I had to take it from the woman today because of this little boy.
Now let's refresh. The little boy had come in wearing a wig that looked ill-fitting. You thought it was the wig was to mock you, and the fact that you wear some kind of a, as you call it, a hair system.
It is a hair system. It's not a toupee. But I've taken a lot of. I don't mind good-natured jesting, good-natured kidding, Phil, and good-natured jesting, but. I do mind it when it's never ending, and it can get to you. The pressure of it can get to you when you're in the business environment that I'm in.
And all right, now you pulled this wig off of this little boy's head, and I don't know the word. What was it? Something like somebody said that there was some profanity.
There was, yeah, and I regret it, Phil.
Can you tell me what you said?
I said, "You effing kid." And I pulled the wig off his head. And
you effing kid.
Yeah. I'm willing to take all the responsibility in the world for this. Were it an instance where it was entirely my fault, but I was being mocked by my checkers because of this hair system, I am dealing with the coupon clipping, and we're dealing again with the strike. And I don't want to keep sounding like a broken record.
These are very real problems, but I wonder where we draw the line in our businesses and we say, well, look, I'm under a lot of pressure.
And in my instance, Phil, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
In my instance, it's not just a professional pressure. It was personal as well because of the hair system that I'd invested a lot of money in and because of the fact that this child came in at the wrong moment. And let's remember also one other thing. Once I had apologized to the little boy and his mother, the mother then entered my store and did the very thing that I have been battling for many months. She bought every piece of every grocery item, whether it was a food item or not, using coupons, and I don't think she spent more than $10 for a $150 order. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, isn't that just a wise woman? Now, look, I know about...
Well, it's wise unless you're abusing the system.
No, I know all about what a lot of grocery stores are saying. And we have a tape racked up here, Bob. What is this?
This is me in the office. A little bit earlier today, I was pouring myself a coffee. If you want to hear it, we can go ahead and roll it. And
well, when you say in the office...
This is when I was going through so much frustration.
This is the comment about hell.
Yes, sir.
All right, bud, let's roll that tape, and I think you got it right.
I am in hell! Yeah! That's it, and I'm not proud of it, but I brought it on your program to play it and to let people know I'm human, to let people know that that I am not ashamed to admit my faults, to let people know that I definitely care about my customers, but that all of us in the grocery business are undergoing a real strain.
Well, I heard the I am in hell. That sounded like you were in hell, all right.
It was, as I said, it was, for some reason, the comment made by Fletcher Christian on the Bounty, it just popped into my mind.
Robert Greene with us, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is the business pressure getting to all of us? Are we treating our employees with respect? Are we treating our customers with respect? Is the pressure of a down business cycle suddenly getting to us so severely that we're just, you know, absolutely not dealing with it? 877-876-PHIL. And Bob, we have the instance, and I appreciate you being honest about the little boy.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you being honest that you used profanity.
Well, it was an obscenity, Phil.
All right, yeah, you said this effing kid, or you effing kid?
No, I said, I said F you to the kid, you effing kid, and I pulled the wig off his head. And I pointed to the hair system that I've invested a lot of money in. I looked at his mother, and I pointed to it, and I said, this is a $15,000 hair system. And
do you think that, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think you're losing it?
Do I think I'm losing it? In what sense?
Do you think that you're cracking? Do you think that...
No. What I'm trying to say to you...
Because it sounds like something that you would not want to say to a child.
No, you don't want to say, Todd, I'm not cracking. I'm exhibiting the strain that every businessman is exhibiting. When this kid comes in wearing this wig, what else are you going to say? But you, F you, you brat. And grab the wig.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Robert Green from Fraser Foods joining us as we talk about economy, we talk about a possible grocery strike, we talk about coupon clipping and how that may be abusing grocery stores, supermarkets, and so forth. And I don't think it really ever dawns on people, Bob, you know, the supermarket business got to be one of the best businesses to be in, you know.
Well, yeah, if you're one of the big chains, Kroger's, if you're one of the big chains, Ralph's, I can't see where Ralph's gets off. And I've heard Ralph's complaining that there may be a strike. I don't know how they sleep at night. Ralph's has got plenty of operating capital. A smaller chain like me, and this is a real concern, Phil, if there's a strike. And there's also a real concern if there is if there's any hint of abuse in the coupon clipping system. And then I have, with all of that strain, customers that come in wanting to abuse the coupon clipping system, and here comes this woman with this little boy. He's 9 years old. I understand that. He has cancer. I understand that. And he's undergoing chemotherapy. I did not know any of these things. All I saw was this very cocky kid.
The kid was how old?
He was a 9-year-old boy, Phil. It was the way he carried himself. It was the way he carried himself.
How does a 9-year-old carry himself?
You know, Phil, unless you operate a business where you're in constant contact with the customer as I am, it's tough to explain. He walked in, he looked me, I didn't like the way he looked at me, and so...
But he's a 9-year-old kid, Bob, that's what I'm saying, you know?
I understand that, but I'm also under a lot of pressure, I'm also under a lot of strain. He's got a mother there that is about to purchase every grocery that she needs, you know, for only $10 using all these coupons that I just got done, I'm talking to you about tonight, and...
But she doesn't know any of that, and...
No, I understand that, but you've got to realize they're there to do one thing and one thing only. And that is to abuse the store owner. Now she's got her son who is looking at me in a way I didn't like the way he looked at me. And then he had on this wig, so I pulled it off. I was angry. I apologize. She didn't do anything other than to continue to purchase groceries with her coupons and wound up spending $10. So it's an abusive environment for me. and one that you wish the people would understand better.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the line here from San Antonio. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I think Bob needs to grow up and realize about people that kids are have cancer and everything. But the other deal is
yes,
that men go bald. I mean,
I understand.
I'm 29 years old, and I went bald at 18 years old. So he needs to grow up and realize people mock bald people. That's all there is to it. It doesn't matter what goes on. People are going to mock you. It's part of life. The other deal is that coupons are reimbursed by the major corporations that you sell the products for. They're reimbursed.
That's correct. That's correct. But to a point. To a point. But what happens is this. If people are gaming the system by using coupons for every little thing to the point where they've got a year's supply of food and they've only spent $10, sooner or later that cost gets passed on to me, as it has been. And, you know, to be quite frank, it's almost like I'm being, you know what, in a jail cell someplace. I mean, I'm trying at...
Well, we don't need that kind of imagery.
Well, but what I'm trying to tell the gentleman is, between that and this kid coming in with this wig on, it puts a lot of pressure on our business.
Well, you're still getting reimbursed. Are you not getting reimbursed at any point?
To a point, we get reimbursed,
every
and then after that, they do not.
Reimbursement. Every coupon not, gets
not,
reimbursement.
Not all of them, no. Now, we're starting to take it, we're starting to have to absorb the cost.
Okay.
So, all right.
Why not just
so
put a limit and ask the people that you're selling the stuff for to put a limit to that instead of getting upset at a system that y'all allowed to be flawed for 20 years?
Well, all right, I'd like to do that, but then how do I say that to a woman whose child has cancer?
Oh,
I just said
You're going back to that, to me, you have made every effort to make it sound like you were the victim in the whole situation.
Well, that's true.
And the kid,
that's true.
The kid was the victim, the ultimate victim. And if I tell you,
I agree with you. I got to tell you, I agree with you. But why don't you see me as the victim?
I don't see you as the victim because you are a business owner. You're held to a higher standard. You are a grown man. You are held to a higher standard.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And morality.
I understand.
Than a 9-year-old kid.
It's very difficult, sir, for me to explain how it is as a CEO of a major corporation to someone who may be working on an oil rig. I don't know what you do for a living, but...
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it's hard for me to explain.
I do work in the oil field, sir, and I happen to make about $200,000 a year. So...
I don't believe that.
Wait a minute. Why don't you believe that?
Because that's more of an income than I allow myself. I don't pay myself. My corporation doesn't pay me that much. Well, you're laughing.
You don't see how much the bonuses that Exxon Mobil makes every month and Shell Oil makes. You don't see how much
money that
they make.
Are you telling me that you work in the oil business? You work in the oil business, which is a business, not you, Jason, but the oil business basically treats the average consumer like they're some punk in a jail cell.
No.
All right.
Do we have to use that kind of imagery, please?
Well, no, but I'm saying that he's on me for ripping the wig off of a kid with cancer, and meanwhile he's in a business. Drill? You bet they do.
Hey, they pay me to do a job, and I'm going to take the money that they pay me.
They
pay
you to drill me.
You set a price on your product so you make a profit and you take the money at the end of the day. Do you not?
All right, but you guys are arguing. You guys are arguing your businesses, and I want to get back to, and then we have to move on. I just want to get back to this idea that what Jason, I think, is saying is a good point, Bob. You're the adult. The little boy is 9. You have business pressure. We all do.
No. We don't all do. Yes, we all have business pressure. I give people food. I provide food. And my people are going to go out on strike. They're using coupons that basically, you know, kind of turns me over on my stomach, and everybody in the cell block has a chance.
Why are we using this jail?
Everybody
what is this?
everybody in California that works in a grocery store in a union or what?
There's going to be a big strike. And
yeah, there's a significant strike that's being threatened. I don't know if it's actually going to happen.
Are they a union or what? Is it a union?
Yes, okay. Yes. How else do you think they're going on strike? Of course, a union.
That's part of your problem right there. I live
in
the right
problem is, well, exactly. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to hold it all together, and some kid comes in a wig.
All right, but the little boy didn't mean to mock you. I got to move on, Jason. Thank you so much for your call. The little boy didn't mean to mock you.
No, I understand that now, Phil. But here's what is not happening here. I'm telling you over and over and over again. I understand. Then when I get around to me, everyone is this man and you guys are telling me that I'm somehow I got to suck it up. And again, when you say suck it up, well, what are you talking about exactly? Because that's exact. And this guy was in the oil business. If ever there was a business that's passing the consumer around a cell block for a pack of cigarettes. And
what is with this jail rape analogy?
I've used it before on your show.
I understand that, but we don't need to do that, okay? You are in a business. Times are tough. Again, you are using that to defend your abuse of this child that had a wig on that you pulled off of his head. You said F you to the kid, you effing brat. You're using his mother using coupons as further excuse as to why you treated this boy this way. And all of this has to do with the fact that you have what you call a hair system that apparently your employees are mocking. Here is Jake. Go ahead, Jake. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, just it sounds like to me that your reactions are just coming from your misperceptions of what's going on. You know what I mean? You say that you didn't know the kid had cancer and all these other
That's
things.
Correct. That's correct.
I understand that, but your misperception of him walking in with a wig on, you know, you reacted emotionally to that, and it's going to lead to some consequences. I mean, I don't know if
it's legal
action, but...
But I'm trying to tell Phil, and I'm trying to tell you, Jake, and anybody else, Here's why I reacted the way I did. People are using coupons to the point that we're losing money. There's a threat of a strike. I've taken abuse from my employees because of a very expensive hair system that I put into place 3 years ago. So what about the pressure that I'm under?
I understand where you're coming from.
And the other... Right. And the other thing, I just want to mention one more thing. The other thing was... And I realize he's a 9-year-old boy, but he came in walking into the store like he owned the place. He had a little bit of an attitude.
Which is all your perception of this young boy. I mean, he could be walking in because he's having a great day. You know what I mean? Maybe the doctor said, hey, guess what? Your chemotherapy's working. You're having a great day. It's, you know, beautiful outside.
Well, he didn't look that bright. I mean, he looked to me like a kid. I mean... What are you saying? You're having a great day like the kid owns an insurance agency? I mean, he walked in.
He's a 9-year-old boy, and maybe he was just happy. Children like grocery stores. They like going in. They like looking at the food. They like going and touching things. You know.
I'm just saying, you made an assumption based on, you know, the boy's actions, and then your emotional reaction to that was pretty big. I mean, that was...
I think it needs to be said that it was a little out of focus, you know.
Well, I don't know what that means, out of focus. I just wish that, all right, I treated the boy, I said you effing brat, I offered the mother a discount. It turns out she comes in with these coupons, so she took me to the cleaners. I mean, I think they got back at Bob Green, and at the end of the day, I'm still here with a hair system that my employees are mocking. What is that? Why is that? Nobody has an answer, huh?
Well, Bob, your employees are going to mock you, then I think you need to talk to your employees. Listen, Jake, thanks for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. It is a very tough business environment. There's recession. There's the threat of a strike for this gentleman. There's the misuse of coupons that's been a longstanding tradition in the grocery shopping and in the grocery business that apparently now is costing him money. The fact that he has some relationship with his employees, all of this pressure led to him pulling a wig off of a little boy with cancer and using some profanity today in his store. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene from Fraser Foods, Stephen Bozell next hour.
Radio for Patriots
by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back from the NAB. Well, in our News and Information Hour, I'll tell you about the National Association of Broadcasters radio show that we were at yesterday. Did a panel with a great guy, Joel Denver, Bubba the Love Sponge, the morning guys from B96 in Chicago, and saw some old friends, and we'll discuss at length, or maybe not. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Greene on the line with us from Fraser Foods, talking about the business climate, that is particularly the business climate that grocers, people in the grocery business, the food business, find themselves in. And, you know, I get it about the coupons, Phil, or Phil, Bob.
I'm Bob.
I understand it, Bob. Thank you. I get it about the coupons. I get it about the
for a minute, Phil, if you don't mind. You say you get it about the coupons, you get it about this. Look, my business is very important to me.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound flip.
But my business is very important to me. When a kid walks into my store with a wig on that looks as if he wants to do playtime or dress-up time because he thinks Mr. Green's funny-looking, that's going to get to anybody. And
it's going to get to anybody, but it is not going to get to an adult to the point of you F you, kid, you effing this.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever owned a grocery store?
No, I have not.
All right, then I don't think you know. And secondly, and then, of course, my checkers who make fun of the hair system I've spent $15,000 on, the kid comes in. I lay part of the blame at their feet for mocking me to the point that I'm hypersensitive to that criticism. Knowing, and these are people that may go out on strike. That's what I love about it. They may go out on strike on me, and they get their last dig in by hiring a 9-year-old to come in wearing some Hobo Kelly wig.
But they did not. They did not do that. All of that was in your mind, as this caller has just pointed out. 877-876-PHIL. Monette, I think, or...
Monette.
Ma'am in... Monette in Los Angeles. I'm sorry. Couldn't read it. You're on the air, ma'am. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't really understand what you're talking about as far as the coupon policy goes, and then your employees make fun of you for your $15,000 hairpiece, and then they go on strike.
No, ma'am, it is not a hairpiece. It's not a hairpiece, ma'am. It's not a hairpiece.
Is it the body?
It is a hair system. I beg your pardon?
I mean, is it a hair plant system? I mean, what are you...
No, it is not. No, it is not. It is not plugs. It is not a weave. It's a hair system. It is my hair.
So it's a really fancy toupee, then?
No, ma'am, it is not a toupee. And you see, I find that insulting. If I said to you...
Well, I'm pretty sure if the child you ripped the wig off thought was very insulting, considering the fact they have cancer and they're not bald and they have a reason to wear a wig.
Well, ma'am, if I said to you, oh, are those fake breasts? That would be insulting, wouldn't it?
I mean,
well, not quite.
In this day and age, and 95% of the people do have fake breasts, it's sort of like a fair question. Although, if I didn't know you, I'd think that was rude. But
it's a little rude.
Don't you really think?
It's a little rude.
Why is it rude?
Because it's a gentleman asking a lady a question. I just think it's rude.
Oh, boy. Okay, so I don't get any... Oh, wow.
But Bob, I'm talking about in a polite society, men don't ask women certain questions, okay? And
well, then why does a kid, a 9-year-old, get to strut into my store like he owns the place?
This is a 9-year-old child.
I don't think anyone can strut into any local grocery store like they own it unless you really don't feel that confident in your business, sir.
I feel very confident in my business, ma'am, but what I...
feel that confident in your business if you're calling the Phil Hendry Show at whatever clock time it is in your hour to complain about whatever it is that went on in your grocery store and you ripped the wig off a kid. I really don't feel that you feel that confident in your business, sir. But if you did,
ma'am, first of all, I'm in California.
To be nice. Okay, well, so am I. I wouldn't go to your grocery
right, so
store
I,
knowing what you did to a child. And I'm pretty sure
I didn't do anything to a
customer doing that.
I didn't do anything to a child. I took a wig off of a kid's head that was trying
That's
to...
A child? I mean, are they not children? I mean, what?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, they are. They're children,
okay,
and they
then,
need to
then
be
you
treated.
Ripped a wig off of a child's head who was suffering from a terminal illness because, oh, wow, you're vain, you got a hair plug system, and people make fun of you, so they're therefore you thought that you can make fun of someone else. You're very mean and you're very rude. That's
no, ma'am, I didn't. First of all, I think you need to understand that if the child, let's not say the child's disease is terminal.
No, sir, I don't think you understand.
Well, I don't think you understand one thing. The woman that came in with the kid, the mother, she proceeded to use coupons that basically
drove me. I use coupons.
How
about this? How about this, sir? I use coupons, and I'm an avid coupon user. How about you read the fine print on the coupons and have your scanners work accordingly instead of doubling coupons that are not supposed to be doubled, allowing more than
right.
four and one coupons to be used in the same transaction? That's your fault. The manufacturer coupons specifically state the rules and guidelines. You don't accommodate them. That's on you.
Well, ma'am, you see how you know all the rules, and I would have to. I'll bet you are. I'll bet you are, and I would. I'm sure that you are, and I'm sure that you would probably take it. Well, you'd probably try to take me to the cleaners, just like the mother of this kid with the wig.
Well, Bob, again,
no one can take anyone to the cleaners if you don't let them. Read the coupons yourself. Have your scanners work accordingly. Call the tech people. That's on you. If you don't read the coupons yourself, then you can't say you're getting robbed.
I don't know what you just said. You speak very quickly, and I understand it's a trait for Hispanics, but what I'm trying to say is...
Whoa. Let's not go down there, okay?
That's
down
really
where?
Funny. I'm not a Hispanic.
No.
That's very cute.
Well, you were talking... I'm sorry, Phil.
Don't start characterizing racially.
Well, she's speaking like... like the lady that cleans my house talks that fast.
I have to speak over you because you're very belligerent and ignorant, and I have to make sure that I need to say what I need to hear clearly because you won't hear it otherwise. And excuse me if I talk fast. You
have
a college education, sir? You own a grocery store. I don't think people who own grocery stores go to college, do you? Did you?
See how she gets to insult me, and I can't say anything about
because
it.
Why is that an insult?
On my race, you're not intelligent. You did a totally unintelligent thing, so I get to ask you if you have an education. That's fair.
So calling you Hispanic was an insult. Wow. There's a lot of Hispanic people.
I'm not Hispanic, first and foremost.
All right, but how's that an insult?
Okay, Bob. I don't want to get into this.
And you're racially profiling me.
Yeah, I don't. All right. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about race. We're going to continue this into the next hour if you've got the time, Bob.
Well, I do want to correct the record on a couple of things. First of all, this lady said that I didn't go to college. She's right. I didn't go to college. Secondly, she says she's not Hispanic. I think that's yet to be proved. Thirdly,
all right,
yeah, sure. Thirdly,
all right,
we got to take a break. Thank you, Monique. It was a very good call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods, back after
Phil
this.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show, just showing on our Phil TV in HD, a Earth cam there from Times Square in New York, where it's around 5 minutes after 2 a.m. And a beautiful picture it is there of a great city. We're here at the El Pacifico out on the opposite coast in California, but we are live every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. And, of course, this is... Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Joining me also online from Fraser Foods in Buena Park is Robert Greene. We've been talking to Bob, and we'll continue with our conversation. We'll try to get to Steve Bozell this hour, but we are talking about something that's very important. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about how businesses are dealing with the economy, how consumers are dealing with the economy, and really the emotional stress, Bob, of business, correct?
Well, I think that's a very good way of describing it. I think that there are an awful lot of people in the business world, such as myself. We are retail people, Phil. We're talking to the customers every day. We're talking to the people that are making our business and breaking our business, and every day I'm grateful for the good customers that we've got. But I can't do anything if my workers want to go on strike. I have very little that I can do if my customers, the very people that I'm trying to super serve, these are the words that I came up with about 2 years ago in a meeting of grocers here in Southern California. I came up with a term called super serve. And I notice a lot of people are using that now. A lot of people in other businesses are using it. I don't know if they give me credit or not. That's one of those little small pressures. You think about that. I came up with just a simple term, SuperServe, which is now being used by other people in other businesses, and they don't give me credit. That's fine. I understand that's how business works. My customers are using coupons, and they are using them to the point where it's costing me money. I understand that's how business works. The fact that my employees may go out on strike, okay, I got to eat that one too. And then on top of everything else, my employees who may go out on strike make fun of a hair system, and I heard the lady say toupee, and I let it go.
Well, Bob, somebody, sometime this hour, not now, but you need to explain to us what you mean by a hair system. If it's not a toupee, if it's not implants, if it's not a weave, I don't know what it is. And while your employees have mocked you and have made fun of this, you still, I don't think, have sold to a lot of people why you grabbed the wig off of a 9-year-old boy.
Because, Phil, in many ways, I'm like that 9-year-old boy. That little boy had cancer. I am going through a lot. And I lashed out at the kid because he was the male. There's a mother and there is a male. There's a boy and a mom. He was the man at that moment. What was I going to do? Walk up to his mother and slap her face, which is what I really wanted to do when she pulled those coupons out. And I didn't do it. Of course we don't act on these impulses if we're adults. And
well, if we're adults, we don't grab the wig off of a 9-year-old boy's head.
Unless the kid's walking into my store like he owns the place.
And well, I even if he was, he's a 9-year-old child, and
well, you're using that really as an excuse for everything. And what if he took out a knife and he plunged it through my face?
Oh, come on, Bob. You know.
No, I'm just asking you. Was he still a 9-year-old boy?
Bob, I don't want to get into that because.
You know, you don't want to get into that because it destroys your argument that he's a 9-year-old boy. If he took a knife and he shoved it right through my face. And that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's a ghoulish, ridiculous thing to say. You know full well that's not what you were facing today. 877-876-PHIL. Are retail businesses going through such economic pressure? Is it putting too much pressure on the workers? Where Bob Green today had this incident with this 9-year-old boy. Here is Gail in Buffalo, New York. Go ahead, Gail. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, yeah, the first thing I say is there is no excuse to lay a hand on another child. I mean, even parents aren't supposed to be hitting their kids. And
well,
it doesn't sound like you feel bad about this at all. And that's
I do
pretty,
feel bad.
That's
I do feel bad. If I,
what do you
if
feel
I didn't
bad about?
I feel bad for everything. I feel bad for the fact that I had to hit him. I feel bad for the
fact that you had to hit him. You didn't have to lay a hand on him. It sounds to me like you got some psychological issues. And you keep coming
back
to
Well, I think that's a highly personal comment to make. I'm a business owner,
yeah,
and I'm trying to run a business.
Absolutely it is. And if
yeah,
I
well,
was in the store and I heard you talking like anything you said on the radio here, I wouldn't come into your store at all. I'm surprised you have customers at all if you complain
you
about
telling
stuff
me that
like this. And you
I'm not allowed to run my business. I'm not allowed to run my business. And we're in the middle of a business climate, ma'am. It's a recession. Everybody's under a lot of pressure.
Absolutely
I'm asking for people to understand
I live here in Buffalo, New York, and our city is almost dead because of the recession. But it seems to me like you need affirmation. Keep bringing up the hair thing.
No, ma'am, you live in a city that's dead no matter what. It's a little joke.
Nice
I'm making a joke.
That's
a real nice thing to say. We're not joking right now, Bob.
I understand that.
We're talking about something that happened in your store that a lot of people, including myself, were my son, I'd be put out.
Well, I don't know
what
you mean by that.
I also meant that I should be speaking slower because I guess you don't understand things from the last things you were telling the last caller.
Wow. What does that mean?
The last caller spoke too fast.
Yeah, so
the last caller was a Hispanic lady going, and I didn't understand what she was saying.
I want you to know that I'm Caucasian and I'm German. So if I am speaking too quickly.
That's a different problem. Well, that's a different problem.
So if you don't like coupons.
What is that supposed to mean?
We do offer coupons, ma'am, but you can find in the industry, I'm not the only one who says that customers abuse them.
Okay,
and they abuse the system.
Why don't you limit the number of coupons you take?
Because then the very lady whose kid came in wearing that wig
why
is going to start screaming at me.
Why do you keep bringing this kid up? What is this kid? Does he bring something up from your childhood? or what is this?
Don't be ridiculous. Ma'am, don't be ridiculous.
Well, Bob, you want to put it into...
Phil, listen, I'm a businessman. I have employees that are about to go out on strike.
You know,
I have customers that are abusing.
I wouldn't be working for you.
And those very employees that are about to go out on strike like to dig it in when I walk in wearing a hair system.
You know what?
And so, yes?
You seem to have a problem with this hair system. Maybe you need to get a new one. Maybe you need to talk to, like, William Shatner about his toupees.
Well, ma'am, yeah. You sound like you think you're funny, and this is a very real and serious business.
You know what?
The thing of it is, Bob, is that I don't understand is that you are taking the reaction to the child.
I've apologized a million times. I don't know how many times I can apologize.
Well, I would still sue you. I would still sue your
Of course
store.
You would. You live in Buffalo, and that's about how you've got to make a living now.
Oh,
all right, you know, that's really pretty lame.
Right.
Pretty lame thing to say.
Oh, it's lame? Was it lame?
Yes, it's very lame.
He has to say lame things because he doesn't have anything intelligent to say.
Wait a minute. Did you call this show and say that you're from Buffalo, New York? Didn't you say that?
So what if she's from Buffalo, New York?
You don't have
so
a
what?
Nice thing to say about anybody.
I do. I said to the boy I was sorry. I offered
After
his mother a
you
discount.
Did, you shouldn't even touched him. You know what? I work with mentally and physically handicapped people. And if I was to touch them, I would lose my job. Why didn't you lose your job?
So if one, if one of them was going to fall down some stairs, you'd have to let them fall.
I
wow.
didn't say that. I said I wouldn't lay a hand
you
on
said
them.
You can't,
in
you said
anger.
You can't touch them.
In anger, Bob. And what we're talking about here was the customer. A woman walked in with a little boy who was 9 years old. You said the kid walked in like he owned the place.
You're having a bad day, you need to take some time off. You need to step away from what you're doing.
I own a business. This is what I mean. I own a large corporation that has stores throughout the Southwest and Southeast. And if
wow,
once you
really
are in that...
Wow, that's really bad because I feel bad for your employees.
You remind me of so many of these women that come into the produce section and they're
thing
like...
against women and
what's
children.
Up with the,
you're a nice
No,
guy.
I do not. No, I do not. It's just you remind me of these women. Hey, what's with your melons, and why is the corn this way and that? And I'm like, why don't you just shut up and buy it?
Oh, my God. I can't
wow. What a fantastic relationship you have with your customers. Listen, I got to take a break. Gail, thank you very much for your call. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Just put them on hold. I don't want to. 877-876-7445. Robert Green from Fraser Foods on an incident in his store today. With all of the pressure, with all of the pressure of a recession, the pressure of a possible strike, the pressure of people using coupons in grocery stores more and more and more and more, he lashed out at a customer's child and grabbed a wig off of the kid's head. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hold on for a minute. What?
Mr. Hall said.
David?
Yeah, listen, you've got another quarter hour. You might as well just go to the bottom of the hour with Bob Green and then at 11:30 pick up with Bozell. All right?
Yeah, that's fine. I would rather you tell me this off the air.
I'm sorry. If we're on the air, I apologize, Phil. I thought I was...
Bud?
He said he wanted to talk.
But if I want to talk to him off the air, all right? I'll talk to him off the air.
All right, we'll go off the air now.
Wait a minute. Give me the microphone. But what are you doing? Are you an idiot or something?
You want to go off the air?
We don't have any commercials. God. David?
And the other people, too.
I didn't hear you.
What?
I didn't hear anything you just said.
Well, what are you doing?
Bud took us off the air for about a half a second there.
I said go to the bottom of the hour with this guy Green, then pick up with Steve Bozell, because this guy Green, doesn't he have a tape recording of him screaming?
We already heard it. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I don't know. Who's this gentleman? Yeah, this is David G. Hall, Bob. I understand you have a tape of you going, I'm in hell.
Yeah, I do. This was a tape that I recorded in my office earlier today.
You can chew it. That's it, Phil. So what we're doing is preparing a lawsuit.
And who are you suing?
I'm going to have to sue my checkers. They're the ones that began this process of sort of ratcheting it up, ratcheting it up, ratcheting it up. And is that the only tape recording?
Well, David, thank you and good night, okay?
Wait a second.
Don't put... if you put somebody on the air again that I tell you, you got to clear it through me, okay?
What? You just go, if you put somebody on the air again that I tell you, you... that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me either.
All right. Hold on for a minute. Just remember what I said.
What you said?
Just remember what I said. Robert Green with us, 877-876-PHIL. Now, Bob...
Phil, let me interrupt. That's a classic example of what I have been excoriated for here over the last hour and 20 minutes. The way you just talked to that gentleman, Mr. Dickman, my understanding is he also... may have some developmental disability of some kind, or he apparently he's got brain damage or something.
I get brain from rolling a bike.
He rolled a motorcycle.
All right, but the way you spoke to him was the same way I talked to this 9-year-old. In fact, I was more honest with the 9-year-old. I said to him, "F you, you effing brat."
Well, isn't that and you think that that's superior to the way I just talked to my employee here? Listen, I am saying quite succinctly that you apparently, and this is what this lady said, have an emotional strain.
If you say that I belong in a nut, if you try to go there, that I belong in a nut hatch.
I didn't say anything of the sort. I'm saying that you are, obviously, work is tough these days. Why don't you take some time off?
Take some time off in a recession. Boy, this guy's good.
Will you, Mr. Green, I'm not here for the amusement of whoever's in the office with you, okay?
I'm sorry, but you want me to take time off during a recession, that's fine. And I suppose at some point... for a minute.
What is that?
That's an espresso machine. Yeah, that's it. Lots of foam. Yeah. We are working late tonight, Phil, and one of the reasons why we're working late is I'm trying to put together quantitatively how much money I've lost since the coupon since the coupon abuse started, and then how much money I will lose when my employees go out on strike, how much money I lost today when that mother came in with the 9-year-old with the ill-fitting wig who... I felt was mocking me. Okay, he wasn't. Fine. We'll move on. But how much money did I lose there? So I'm going to be working all night. Give me another one. That's it, yeah. A lot of whipped cream on it this time, Eddie.
Bob, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm making an espresso. Is that all right with you?
And why the sarcasm?
Because everything that I'm doing is come in for criticism, and I'm simply trying to get myself to do it again. I don't like the taste of that. Come on. I don't want it to taste like someone's rear end, all right?
Hey, Robert, remember we're on the air.
I apologize, Phil. But what I am saying is... There you go. Yeah. I like that triple shot. What a dumbass. Give me 3 shots. Hold on, Phil.
Yeah, sure.
Well, what are you upset about?
I'm trying to get an interview done here while you're making yourself one latte after the next, after the next, after the next.
I wanted 3 shots. I'm working all night. Is that all right with you?
That's perfectly fine.
Okay. So we're going to work all night tonight because of what happened. And
well, what you're telling me you're going to be working all night tonight, I certainly understand if you got to balance the books. I understand that. If you're anticipating a strike, I understand that. I don't quite get how this little boy today, who's making another espresso.
Yeah, I threw that one out. I said don't make it taste like ass. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I've got a new kid here, Phil. I apologize. I brought him up from the stock room. Good kid. But I'm getting him to work the espresso. Yeah, that's great. All right, he finally got it right. The first two tasted like they're like you strained it through your own underwear. That's what it tasted like. Well, next time learn how to use the machine.
Bob.
Oh, hold on just a minute. You understand what I'm saying? Phil, I'm sorry, but I've got a...
This is the environment we're in right now. You understand what I'm saying? No, but the first two that you made, it tasted like you used your own underwear as a strainer for the coffee. I know you didn't do it. I'm not saying that you did do it. I'm saying that the way it tasted like you strained the coffee grounds right through a skid mark in your own underwear. You understand?
Yeah, all right.
Jesus, God. You know, and they say you're not allowed to use the R word anymore.
Okay, can we get back to talking?
Yeah. There was never any problem.
You asked me to hold on while you were talking to this guy.
I apologize.
All right. So the notion, therefore, that you're not under any excessive emotional strain that would necessitate you taking time off basically means the following thing, that buyer beware when they come into your store.
That's the baby. That's what I've been trying to say. You walk into the store of a man who's about to have workers go out on strike, of a man who has customers that are taking him out to the tool shed. Notice I didn't say work shed. I said tool shed with coupons. I didn't say work, I said tool, okay?
Yes.
All right. You put that man, and on top of that, the fact that he has been taking it from his employees nonstop for 6 months over a hair system that cost him a lot of money. You know...
I'm curious, what have they been saying?
What's that?
The employees, what have they been saying about your hair system?
Well, one of the things they say that I find it's very, very wrong... I gotta get another... Hold on, Phil, I gotta get another one. This is basically... What are you doing?
Hey, Bob, would you give me the courtesy of...
Hold on, Phil. What are you doing? Are you using the coffee filters or are you using a chalk strap? Now, which is it?
Bob?
Do you mind?
Yes, I do mind, because I've only got a couple of minutes left in the quarter hour.
I'll get to you in a minute. So, buyer beware, yes, you're right, Phil. I think that when you come into any man's store who's under the kind of pressure that I'm under, and now... Add to the coupon problem, add to the strike problem, add to the hair system problem, and add to the fact that the little boy who had the wig on, his mother took me to the cleaners for about $150. Now add to that a guy in my office that can't make a triple shot latte without straining it right straight through the crotch of his underwear. The hell you did?
That's a rough problem.
Oh, yeah. Do it one more time, will you?
Oh, come on, will you, with this coffee, man? I've had a few seconds left to interview you. Here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again. I'm working over here.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. There you go. Give me some whipped cream this time, okay? What? Because I don't know whether you're straight. I'm going to open that up, and if I find your underwear in there, I want whipped cream to make it taste good, that's why. Because right now, the way you're making them, I swear to God, man. What are you doing, Eddie? Where are you getting the coffee? Out of a cat's rectum?
All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. One time it was a family show.
I'm sorry. I forgot we were on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air, all right. We'll be back. Stephen Bozell for a few minutes with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. God almighty. That guy.
Are you wearing underwear? Well, I guess you wouldn't be.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, that number, 877-876-PHIL. And we've only got a few minutes. I want to bring on Stephen Bozell, the construction contractor from Corona, California. We are going to talk with him a little bit here this evening about the legal action, or it's not legal action, I guess, Bud, is it?
No, it's got a boycott.
Is it the Parents Council?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's right. The television show Dancing with the Stars is going to be featuring Chaz Bono.
Bono, the guy from YouTube.
Yeah, no, I know that. Chaz Bono. Who at one time was Chastity Bono. Chastity Bono, born the daughter of Sonny and Cher Bono, but eventually went through gender reassignment surgery and is today Chaz Bono, a young man. And Stephen Bozell is going to join us to talk about that very, well, I guess, dilemma in the minds of some viewers. And the family council, this parent television council, whatever the hell that thing is, they've gotten involved. I got to tell you, I find it really, I don't think it's fair to call yourself the parents this or that. It really, here's what happens. People get the idea that you're speaking for millions and millions and millions of people. You know, and that's just not the case. People get the idea that you're speaking on behalf of millions of people. You might have sent out an email to millions of people. You might have sent out an email to millions of people, and maybe thousands responded. And so you begin to sell it to the public. This is what you say. We're the Parent Television Council, and we have thousands, if not millions, of people who are members. And that's not true. But that's what they've been doing. They've been selling it that way. All right, let's get on the line here. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Ms. Bozell, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very good.
And you are in transit out of your home from, you're working late this evening, is my understanding.
Yes, sir, but I'm very capable. I've got a radio phone in my truck.
Okay. I know that you are a construction contractor. You're also the father of two children.
Yes, sir.
And a husband. You live in Corona, California. What is your major... and I know that you have teamed up with this television council, is that right?
It is. It's the parent parent oversight, which is parents who are watching programs on television and monitoring programs on television to make sure that these are shows that, of course, our young people are shows that our young people would be we feel would be safe watching. I don't think that this Dancing with the Stars show it falls into that category. I've said as much to members of our oversight, and I've also sent telegrams for every member of our organization. I heard what you were saying about the Parent Television Council. I think it's probably a valid point, but we're not allied with them at all.
How many people in your organization?
We've got about probably 2,000 people that are very active in.
And what do you mean by active?
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't really. I mean, if you want, I'd be very happy to get into a discussion of the veracity of our membership and so forth. My intention was to talk about this show, Dancing with the Stars.
No, I know that, but my audience is going to want to know who you represent. Do you speak for yourself? Do you speak for others?
I speak for quite a few other families, yes, sir. Many, many parents.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, I'll take it your word there, sir. I wanted to know, again, to get some vague outline of the organization that you're involved in. Now, what is the major complaint that you have with this television show?
Well, I think you outlined it very well at the beginning of your talk, when you said that the television show, this Dancing with the Stars, which, by the way, on Monday night will be the night that this Chaz Bono is dancing with this very beautiful young woman.
Can we find out the name of that lady? I don't know, Dan or Chris. The name of the young lady that Chaz Bono is dancing with?
Yeah, I don't have it. I apologize.
That's all right. Maybe those guys can look it up. It's not a big deal, guys. We'll find it eventually. So go ahead.
Well, she's very lovely, and Chaz Bono has been photographed dancing with her in what you call rehearsal. And if you've seen Chaz Bono, this is a person who is very big, looks to be overweight. I'm simply saying the following thing, and I think that this gets right to the crux of what I'm talking about. I was a young man. I married my wife, April. She was the first woman that I have ever been involved with intimately. I'm very proud of that, but I never went out and did many things, and I know a lot of guys are like that, many men that are listening right now. You marry your childhood sweetheart, and that's what you do.
And by the way, that young lady's name is Lacey Schwimmer. Lacey Schwimmer.
Yes, she's a blonde woman.
I believe so, yeah.
She's very, very beautiful.
She is. I guess she's a really good dancer, too.
I don't know. I my understanding is that many of the people that dance on that show look pretty, look very awkward, look stupid.
Well, generally they'll team up an amateur or a famous amateur with a professional dancer, you know, I think is how that works.
Well, OK, okay, but here, in any event, Mr. Henry, I think what I'm trying to say is this. There's millions of American men that are going to tune in on Monday night and see a person that used to be a woman and is now claiming to be a man, and he, or, you know, if you want to call him he, is with this beautiful, beautiful young lady, and he weighs almost 300 pounds. I dare you to take a picture of Chaz Bono and just to show it to the average woman who doesn't know who he is. I dare you to do that and find one woman that would even so much as shake his hand, let alone dance with him. You see what I'm saying?
And well, not really, because you haven't gotten to the crux of why it is you are complaining. I understand what your feelings may be about Chaz Bono and the way he looks.
Okay, well, the crux of the matter is this. Chaz Bono is on TV dancing with this Lacey Schwimmer, who is beautiful. I've never danced with a woman that looks that good. Thousands of American men who will be watching that show on Monday night have never danced with a woman that looks that good. And here's this big, fat, out of shape woman that used to, you know, was a woman, now is a man. I mean, not even a, it doesn't make any sense. And I'm trying to be very clear. And
are you saying that you're insulted that a transgender person gets to dance with a really attractive woman?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And what is offensive about that?
Because I was born a man, have always been a man. I'm a man now. Okay? I've never had a shot at something like that. Now, I'm a very happily married man. Okay?
All right.
And
I'm sure there's a lot of guys that you're speaking on behalf of that are also very happily married.
I don't know that. But none of us, or very few of us, ever had a shot at something that looks that good. And here is I don't know.
Just, you can say a man. Chaz Bono is a man now. Chaz Bono at one time was a woman when his name was Chastity Bono and she was a she. But today, he's a man.
It's very hard for me to say that. And
well, you're going to have to learn how to say it because we're all living in a rapidly changing world, and that's exactly who he is, and that's what he is, and you're not going to be able to. What are you going to do? You know?
But why can't I point out something obvious? Somebody that used to be a woman is now a man, and that means that the actual reproductive organs, it probably is. Boy, I mean, are you kidding? So. A reproductive organ that's no bigger than my thumb.
All right, this is what I was afraid of, okay? I don't want to get into the graphics of that. I don't need to hear that because that's not really what we're talking about. You're talking about a problem with a TV show that is showing a transgender person dancing with a beautiful woman, and your problem has nothing to do with kids. It has to do with grown men.
No, sir, it has everything to do with the children. To expose the children to an individual that mocks their fathers is, I think, very destructive. And
how do the children know that Chaz Bono is mocking their fathers? You know,
I think it's very obvious to any child that you want to talk to or be with. Talk to the average child. Go out on the street with a microphone and just interview any kid that's walking down the street. And say, if you see Chaz Bono dancing on Dancing with the Stars, I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. What? No. I want to know, what am I going to say to this kid? And how old is the kid? This is the second hour, by the way. We're at the third hour. We're into talking about kids.
Well, yeah, no, I'm saying the average kid, say...
What's the demographic of kid? Teenagers?
Yeah.
Okay, like an 11, 12-year-old?
Okay.
So I'm going to talk to that kid, and I'm going to say, do you realize that Chaz...
No, you don't have to say that. Just ask them, what do you think about Chaz Bono dancing on Dance with the Stars? I think your average 12, 13-year-old kid is going to go, yeah, it makes fun of my dad because my dad's never had a shot at that. And
your dad's never had a shot at that.
I'm talking to Ms. Schwimmer.
All right, so why don't we say that? My dad never dated a girl as good-looking as Lacey Schwimmer, and here's Chaz Bono, who used to be a woman, and now he's dating this really hot-looking girl.
Exactly.
It could have a lot to do, Mr. Bozell, with the celebrity of Chaz Bono. It could have a lot to do with that, the fact that it's a TV show, so, I mean, you could get the ugliest guy in the world on a TV show. He's going to dance with a beautiful girl. I mean, it's part of the entertainment value. Are you afraid that Chaz Bono in real life is attractive to beautiful women?
I'm saying that it gives the impression, and that's the big problem that, you know, the problem that I've got is that it gives the impression that you could be a woman, go in, have, you know, have some work done, and then come out and go straight into the dance hall with, you know, a piece of tail like that. And
that mocks you in front of your kids.
I believe so. Yes, sir. I do.
877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. Do you believe that Chaz Bono being on TV, Chaz Bono, the son of the late Sonny Bono and Cher Bono, at one time a female named Chastity Bono, do you think that Chaz Bono being on Dancing with the Stars mocks the average American male because he used to be a her and now he's a he and he's got a beautiful blonde partner to dance with on television? And
well, the way you put that, Mr. Andrew, I think mocks every man that's concerned about this Bono and what he, you know, what he gets to. I won't make a joke.
No, please don't make a joke, sir. It's not funny. It's not joke. It's not a joking matter. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We'll be back here with Stephen Bozell. Does Chaz Bono mock men by dancing on Dancing with the Stars? A transgender guy dancing with his beautiful partner. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Bono got a book.
Never mind.
The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. We'll get to some phone calls. We don't have a lot of time, but basically your complaint representing this group, Parent Oversight, is that Chaz Bono, having not been born a man, now a man, after gender reassignment surgery.
Installed, you know, I thought that was offensive.
You were the guy that said he had one installed. I didn't say that.
Sir, the point that I'm making here is that this is a transgender person, as you put it, who gets an opportunity to dance on a TV program with a very, you know, beautiful woman. And I've not had no chance to do that. What's that about? I mean, that...
It could very well be that you've got a that you're fixating on something that a lot of guys are not fixating on. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Steve. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I've been listening and I love the show, but this just sounds to me like he's jealous. He's jealous of Bono because he gets. You've never had a shot at a beautiful woman. Big deal. So he gets one. I mean, it doesn't matter that he was a man or a woman before. This woman obviously doesn't have a problem with it, and you shouldn't either. And if you have a problem with your kids watching it, turn the TV off. I have three kids myself, and I watch what my kids watch. And if I think it's not, I don't complain to everybody in the world about what to watch on TV. I turn my TV off, or I turn the channel. It's that simple.
I understand that, sir, but okay, are you going to allow your children to watch Chaz Bono? That's one of the things our group's talking about.
I don't find it offensive, and how would they know?
I think they're going to ask the obvious question, Dad, what is that big fat slob doing with such a beautiful woman?
And what a way to describe this man, Chaz Bono, a big fat slob.
Well, if you've seen the man.
I have.
All right, how does that work? How does a guy like that, okay, God, I would ask this gentleman, or any man, doesn't it seem strange that a man that looks like that, that used to be a woman, gets to take a beautiful blonde to bed? And
you don't know that he's taking her to, where, how do all of a sudden are we getting to that?
Sir, it's a television program, they've teamed him up with her, I think it stands to reason. And
boy, I think you've got some other ideas about television and entertainment that might have to be worked out a little bit. Here is Lathan in Washington State. Go ahead, Lathan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just really feel like this guy's kind of projecting his misfortunes on other people. I mean, how does your wife feel that you're so obsessed with these chances that you feel you've missed out on? I, for one, I'm out of shape, and my wife is beautiful. I have a cousin who's, as you would put it, a big fat slob, if you want to go on BMI, and he has a gorgeous wife. And I think that it's kind of unfair to your wife to go out there and be really upset about missing a shot with somebody attractive. Don't you find your wife attractive?
That's a good question.
Of course I do, sir. She's the mother of my two children. I think that my wife, when I first met her, was one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. She had two kids. Her body went away, you know, and it ain't never going to come back.
I really hope for your sake she's not listening. I hope for her sake she doesn't hear that. That's terrible. My wife could lose a leg and gain 500 pounds, and I'd still think she's beautiful.
Of course I think my wife's beautiful, but you know as well as I do when they have children. Do you have children?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, you know she lost her shape and ain't never going to come back.
My wife weighs 95 pounds. My wife is 5'1" and weighs 95 pounds and has a gorgeous figure.
Well, all right. I'm just saying it's very strange. And in your home, you're going to do what you're going to do. But if your children come to you and ask you how a transgender, whatever you want to call it, is suddenly there with this beautiful woman...
Why would the children, if their father has no problem with it, why would they have that mindset?
Maybe they have a teacher. Maybe they have a little league coach. Maybe they have someone who said, well, look at that freak. And what are you going to do?
Then I would say to them that...
I teach people to accept other people for who they are, number one. Number two, this guy is dancing with somebody as part of a television show. And number three, if there was a relationship merit, it'd probably be based on his personality, something you seem to not be able to find out.
Sir, how do you... How do you figure that? I mean,
it's a coupling on television that has nothing to do necessarily with any kind of relationship. Number one, I mean, it's TV for heaven's sake. And number two,
even if
it was a legitimate relationship, you think that maybe she might get to know this guy, that maybe, you know what, people aren't just what they look like, that there's something more to them, something inside that matters?
Of course. But at the end of the day, if this man has been had a gender reassignment surgery, which means that the male, you know, reproductive part is not going to be much bigger than your finger.
Oh, come on, man. You know, this is a juvenile
That's
conversation.
And you claim to be looking out for kids, and all you can focus on is male anatomy and genitalia and discussing this kind of thing on the air? You should be ashamed.
Of course.
I hope your followers
listening. Why would I be ashamed of that? If it makes me look bad, it makes you look bad. Every man out there that was born a man and has one that's normal.
So what, man? And what has that got to do with the kids? That's the whole thing. What's that got to do with the kids? You know, so what if you were born a man, Chaz Bono? That's the whole thing about the transgender phenomenon that we've come to understand. There's people who are obviously far more human in another gender body, in another body that is a different gender.
Well, okay, I've heard you stumble through that, Mr. Henry, but I bet you this man couldn't say, and you stumbled through it.
What do you mean I stumbled through it? What the hell am I stumbling through?
The fact you're trying to tell me about some guy that was born a woman, now he's a man, had to have it installed, and now he's dancing with a beautiful woman on TV.
First of all, the guy is the son of celebrities, Sonny and Cher Bono. So people are going to know who he is. He's been raised in the public eye since...
He was a she. There you go.
If I can have one more point in, and I know I'm kind of running long-winded on this. I'm a medical professional, and biologically and biochemically, there are circumstances where, and I'm not saying this is all the time, but sometimes a person's brain will develop.
Yeah, that's right.